Hey, you found the Bear Rugs, a quirky duo of podcasters clawing at you three times a week. On Mondays, we talk, banter, and ramble about a multitude of topics. Wednesdays are reserved for Ask a Bear Rug. We take the spiciest questions from our listeners, so be sure to hop on the site and send us a few. Fridays, we save those for movie and television series reviews. Thanks for tuning in, and welcome to the den. What's up, everyone? I'm James.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're the Bear Rugs. Grab a chair, kick back by the fire.
If you have either of those things.
And grab a drink.
Ideally alcoholic.
And let the sweet, dulcet tones of the Bear Rugs fill your head.
We really appreciate you guys tuning in. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Today is Friday, and we are doing a movie review. What movie are we reviewing?
We are reviewing Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, which is the new Guy Ritchie movie.
The new Guy Ritchie movie. It stars your boy Jason Statham. Jason Statham. And Aubrey Plaza, which I think she's new to the Guy Ritchie thing, yeah?
Yeah, I believe this is her first Guy Ritchie movie. He uses Josh Hartnett, Hugh Grant, who is knocked it out of the park in his last Guy Ritchie movie. I think he's permanently earned himself a spot in Guy Ritchie's films, because I saw his next movie Hugh Grant's also going to be in, which is currently filming. Cary Elwes, and I hope I'm saying that right, but the Wesley from Princess Bride.
Maybe it's Ewells.
Ewells.
E-L-W-E-S. Pray for us. I have no idea how to say that.
A lot of people get really mad because he's Wesley from The Princess Bride, and that's the most cult, classic, iconic movie in history.
Yeah, and we don't even know his last name. Sorry, guys.
Put it in the feedback.
So let's start with the number, yeah? Do you want me to go, or you want to drop
you go,
yours?
You go first.
I'm going to be honest. I'm giving this one a 6.5 out of 10. Less than Cocaine Bear, even. And I have a couple reasons for it, but what's your number before we'll get I get into that. Into it?
Man, I don't. This bothers me because I think I gave you the same score. Maybe we're too close to friends. I think I gave you the same score. I think we had the same score for Cocaine Bear too. But I'm also a 6.5.
6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, and there's one thing in this movie that would make it an 8 immediately. And
is this okay? So before we hear about this thing, is it going to be in the spoiler free portion, or is this going to be in the spoiler portion?
Man, I think it's okay to put it in the spoiler-free, because spoilers is just story. Don't ruin story.
Yeah, maybe a little, right? But that's fair. If there's something that's like plot revealing, yeah, I would say that's probably spoiler-worthy.
Okay,
so I'll hit you with my takes first. The first thing that I always that we'll ask is, should you watch it in theaters? For me, absolutely not. I do not think you should spend it. If you have AMC stubs, if you get a free movie, fuck it, go watch it. But if you don't, do not pay money to watch this in the theaters.
I agree with that.
Wait for that shit to come into streaming.
Yep. It's fine.
I would say maybe not even rent it on Amazon Prime or whatever platform you use. If you can watch it free, if it ends up streaming on a platform that you pay for, watch it. The main reason I say that is because I think this falls under the twin movie situation. And what I mean by that is there are certain movies that are almost carbon copies of each other. The examples that I have are Armageddon and Deep Impact, The Prestige and The Illusionist, Ants or A Bug's Life, right? Of those movies, one of them did it better, and you might as well just watch that other one. If you're not missing anything if you don't watch.
I'm really interested to hear what your comparison movie to this is. What did it better?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, there was a lot of tones and behaviors that I felt like they just did it better in that movie. And then I would also say, if you're going to watch a guy, they're all Guy Ritchie movies. Fucking watch The Gentleman, dude. It's going to be, you're going to have a better time. You're going to see the same people. And it's just much better done. It's just everything that I felt like in this movie, there were elements of it that were done in A Gentleman that were just done way better. I just enjoyed it better, to be honest. Speaking of, because we're talking about different movies, I do want to mention there were some trailers that came up. I got 6 of them in total, and 3 of them actually kind of elicited a level of interest in me. So I do want to talk about those in a minute. Do you think we can pivot to that really quick, or do you want to
talk about that? Yeah, let's just knock them out really quick. I only remembered one of my trailers, and I only had 3. I was at a different theater than you.
Yep.
The one trailer I saw was The Covenant, and about the soldier. It's about a soldier in Afghanistan that gets saved by an Afghani and then is forced to leave in the withdrawal. And and doesn't get to take that Afghani with him despite promising that. So he goes back on his own dime, you're led to believe,
to
go and save him and get him out. And it's an action movie. That's the only trailer I remember.
I didn't see that one. That one didn't come up in mind. So
that's
mine,
also Guy Ritchie. Ooh. It's him being serious.
Oh, okay. Wow. So I had the first three I had were like horror movies. It was an Exorcist sequel with fucking Russell Crowe as the Pope's exorcist.
I actually had that trailer as well.
Okay. It didn't really run me either way. And then the other one, it was another horror movie. I don't really remember. But the one that actually like piqued my interest, the first one that piqued my interest didn't really get me super sold on it, but I still want to check it out, is Paint, where Owen Wilson basically plays like a Bob Ross character. Wait, is that Luke Wilson? No, that's Owen Wilson. It's Owen Wilson. He plays like a Bob Ross character, and he gets like, it looked good.
I'm glad to hear you say that. There's a joke going around that's like, oh, Owen Wilson's doing Wes Anderson movies without Wes Anderson now.
I loved it. It looked good, dude.
We're going to have a review of it then. We got a consensus. Yeah,
so I saw the trailer to Paint, and that one I was super excited for. And then the other trailer I saw, and I hope you've seen this trailer, it's called Sisu, S-I-S-U. And it's about this Finnish gold miner who's like just fucking digging away. He's got his little pet dog, and he's got a Australian shepherd. And it's like kind of gray-haired, covering his eyes. And he goes digging for gold. He finds this gold, and then it doesn't really give you a lot, but it shows you it's 538 miles from the nearest place, and it's in 1944. And so he has to go through Nazi-occupied territory to get to the bank to cash his gold. And it turns out that he's like this ex-fucking soldier, like this ex-general, right? And so it's like, it looks like a fun time.
Hate to call you out in front of all our loyal fans, but that's one of the things I've sent you in a link, a trailer for Sisu.
You did?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be reviewing that as well. 100%. We're going to go see it in Thursday.
Dude,
theaters.
I was so hyped for
I'm
that.
Excited too.
Oh, it looks so good. So yeah, anyway, Sisu, can't wait. And then the third one, I literally started laughing because there's a fucking scene in the trailer that... it's a fucking another Fast movie with your boy,
I had that
Jason
too.
Momoa, dude.
So
and he
excited.
Fucking hits the turbo with two fucking helicopters. I was like, so bro, I started excited. Dying laughing. Everyone in the theater was like looking over at me like a bad laugh. Like, this is fucking
I'm making
wide.
You watch every single one of
I'll
those.
I'll watch it, but oh my God, dude. Fucking, I'm over it, bro.
You haven't watched enough to earn the right to be over it.
Okay.
You're not part of the family.
Dude, the first three I'm okay with, but every other one from there, I'm done. I'm over it. So anyway, Sisu, can't wait. Paint, I'm excited for too. Not excited for Fast, but I know we're going to have to watch it.
We don't necessarily have to do a review of it. I know I'm going to watch
it. I know, we'll watch it. We'll watch it. We'll fucking watch it.
You have to watch like the 18 that precede it before I'm going to let you watch
it. Oh, no,
that.
I've seen them all. I've definitely seen them all.
You've seen the one where they go to space?
Yes. Wait, maybe not. I don't think I've seen this. Is that the most recent one?
Yeah, 9.
No, I haven't seen the space one, I don't think.
You've seen the one where Paul Walker drives off into the sunset after he dies in real life,
right? Yes. I think, it was like a CGI Paul Walker,
that's
right?
7. That's his brother with his face on it, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've seen that one.
That's 7. And then there's Fate of the Furious after that, which is Fate. Get it? 8.
I get it. F8 and the number 8. It's a late one. Got him. So, yeah. No, we'll watch it. Did that spark any reminder of trailers that you may have seen where you're like,
Got the Fast trailer.
Okay.
And I also got so those are my three. It was Fast, The Covenant, and The Exorcist. The Pope's Exorcist is what it was. What
do you think about The Pope's Exorcist? Do you think it's... I mean, Russell Crowe, man.
Yeah, it looked decent. It looked like it could go either way. It could be absolute bomb and horrible, or it could be a decent movie.
Yeah.
I don't really like demon possession type movies.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not like...
I don't know.
There's a scene where he coughs out a fucking... bird too. You remember that? He's like, and the little baby bird just.
Yeah, I like how they set that up. He's explaining to them. He's like, I am the Pope's exorcist. 98% of the time, I end up recommending them to a psychologist or a doctor. The other 2% of the time,
cool.
And it just goes to that kid coughing up a
he's
bird.
Like,
and you're like,
straight up
pretty,
evil.
Pretty damn well know this kid's possessed. He just coughed up a bird,
fucking bird. Yep.
And he's talking in like a 53-year-old man's voice. We better bring in the Pope's exorcist.
Yeah, bring in the Calvary. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I might watch it. I don't think I'll watch it in theaters, to be honest. I don't know. We'll see.
How is he, Doc? You accidentally sent him to the doctor anyway. I don't know. It's a pretty bad case of coughing up a bird while demon-possessed.
Yeah, avian Hackitis. I don't know what you call
it. Anyway. Back to The Exorcist. Okay. This isn't my swim lane.
We derailed a little bit, but I think it was good to talk about because there are some...
Yeah, give people a teaser of what's coming down the pike, for sure.
Hell yeah. So, trailers were okay. Those three were bangers. And then let's get back to the actual thing.
Okay, so for me, and right off the bat, this isn't a spoiler because it doesn't have to do with story. We can explain why later. There is one giant nail that was sticking out of the board that is Operation Fortune to me. And it would have gone from a 6.5 to an 8 if this nail was hammered down.
Ooh, that's a big nail.
It was possibly the most disjointed, immersion-breaking thing in any movie I can remember. And that is how absolutely horribly Aubrey Plaza did in that movie.
Are you kidding me?
100%.
I had the opposite effect. I fucking loved her in the movie, dude.
She's the same person in everything she's ever done, and that personality doesn't fit with Super Spy.
I loved her in it. I thought it was good, because she's like the...
Her lines, nerd, she also was fed, not to her fault, she was fed some really... Probably the worst lines in the whole movie were all hers.
But I feel like... And
that's not her fault.
That's a hot take, bro. Because I'm telling you right now, the only thing that kept me, my argument.
Yeah, go.
Correct me, you know, stop me if I'm going too far here. Jason Statham was fucking Jason Statham. And fucking your boy was the same dude he was in The Gentleman. There was literally no interchangeable. He was fucking, what was his name in The Gentleman? Raymundo. It was fucking
No. Raymundo is what... What's his name in that? It's not Raymundo.
His name is fucking Ray Greg is, in this.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant's character was the same guy, dude.
Ray's Charlie Hunnam's character, and Hugh Grant's character calls him Raymundo is like a cute name. But yeah, he was. I agree with that. Yeah. And on top of that, he wasn't given as much to do as he was in The Gentleman. He was given quite a bit of fat to chew on.
Yeah, he was trope billionaire in this one for sure, but I just felt like the only thing that really kept me kind of, to be honest, like because I was a little bit interested. I was like, Aubrey Plaza, that's interesting. I loved it. I thought she fucking, I think she killed it.
I'm going to be really interested to see, please people give us feedback on this. I want to hear after you've seen it. Please let us know what you thought of Aubrey Plaza. Cause we're obviously got a divisive opinion.
And
on
maybe,
this.
Maybe I'm just a fan of her in general, but I felt
I am too. I like Parks and Rec is April. Like give me a break. It's one of the most iconic characters in television history. And that one that
she
did
recently on Netflix, you know what I'm talking about? Where she was like an intense villain type almost.
I can't remember off the like top an of anti, my head, but I can't like remember Ingrid Goes West, and she was in the newest. She did great in the new like White Lotus season, which I got into that show kind of a little late, but I like the White Lotus. Jason Statham, you're absolutely right. Jason Statham was Jason Statham. It's like, but Jesus. Jason Statham is the kind of guy that's gonna beat you.
Gotta
be senseless.
Jason Statham. That's fair.
She was put in a square peg round hole.
You think
hole.
So? Yeah. I disagree. I disagree, man. I thought anytime she was on the screen, I was pretty excited about it. I was like,
"Are you sure it's not
because
you just like don't have a crush on her or something?"
I mean, I probably have a little bit of a I have
biased.
I genuinely believe that I don't want to get into spoils here, but there. So I'm not going to say in detail, but there were interactions that she had with multiple characters that she did was very convincing in her mannerisms with them. I will say though that one of my arguments was that the dialogue at times, even for a Guy Ritchie movie, which is usually quick and funny and entertaining, was borderline predictable.
And
like you
forced.
Were like, yeah, and it felt forced, 100%. I hate to say that because I said that about the last movie too a little bit. Is that times the dialogue were forced, but I felt the same way about this one. Is it's like, oh, here comes your typical dumb quippy trope, and they just didn't land as well. There were a couple that landed pretty good, but the overall part of the movie, the dialogue just didn't land as great for me.
Yeah, I agree, and we can give examples of both in the spoiler section. I was disappointed that Josh Hartnett, who has been away from movies for a while, it seems like, and I missed him because I mean, Lucky Number 11, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, the actor.
Lucky Number 11. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I love him in that too.
And he's great in a lot of stuff. He did Hollywood Homicide with Harrison Ford. He's done some good stuff. Penny Dreadful was like the last thing he did, a good TV show. But he kind of took a break. I think he went to be with his family, as a lot of actors are apt to do. And they just didn't give him enough to work with. He did great in playing the kind of ditzy actor.
I think the same
Every
thing.
Every character in this movie was really two-dimensional, and that hurt.
I agree. Yeah, so that was the other thing that I had, was I said I enjoyed specific characters, and one of the specific characters was actually going to be Sarah, Aubrey Plaza's character. I also, not to get into too many, the intro cinematography I actually kind of enjoyed. The movie literally starts out with the sound of very nice shoes clacking on a tile floor, and they also kind of run through a little bit of a scene. And the level of intensity of what's happening in that scene while the person is walking is, I thought that was great. I liked the beginning quite a bit, but
yeah, other than that scene, they didn't get too creative with cinematography. Other than another one thing that I thought was kind of stupid and disjointed. Again, that's going to be in the spoiler
section.
We'll talk
about it in the spoilers.
But the cinematography was, I mean, this is just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a Guy Ritchie movie. I'm not expecting, like, you know.
And not a particularly Inception clever Guy level. Ritchie movie either. It's not on the level of The Gentleman or Snatch or even Lockstock. It was just a much more fun, him not trying that hard type, I hope. Anyway, fun movie. And so the cinematography was typical of a action, let's not take this too serious type movie, which is never beautiful. But he did add a little flair to the beginning with the footfalls and the march through the government building.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. But so that's as far as the spoiler free portion. That's all I have to say. Just recap. Don't watch it in theaters. Oh, is there anything you want to?
No, go.
Okay, recap. Don't watch it in theaters. Wait for it to stream. I would even not rent it. And the reason being is that there are so many other movies that have done it better. You know, Ants: A Bug's Life is going to be the biggest example I can think of. The characters didn't draw me in. I felt like most of the actors were just playing themselves, which I was disappointed in. The dialogue was almost too predictable, even for, you know, it's a Guy Ritchie movie, you're expecting puns, but they were forced. It didn't feel great. There were some specific characters I enjoyed, and then that intro cinematography I definitely liked. 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. In summary, I would say that it was a fun movie, and that's all it was. Cinematography was cinematography that was indicative of a fun action movie. The acting was, it was all it needed to be, with the exception of Aubrey Plaza, who couldn't get out of her own way. And then, but again, she was handed cheesy lines, which brings us to writing. There's a few jokes that hit, and I chuckled out loud a few times. Yeah. And then there's times where it's like, this is nauseatingly cliched.
Cringe. Yeah, borderline cringe.
And, yeah, so, and the characters weren't that fleshed out. The one thing that I want to heap praise on is Bugsy Malone as JJ, who is another one of the operatives that helps Aubrey Plaza's Sarah and Jason Statham's Orson Fortune, the title character. He did good. He wasn't,
I liked him too.
He also wasn't given enough to work with, but he had a lot of swagger. His character, like, played it cool. He had a fun character. One of my favorite scenes was with him, if not my favorite scene. We'll get into that in the spoilers. His character was a badass, honestly. Yeah. And he was also in The Gentleman as Ernie, one of the toddlers.
Bucks is a bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but it's no dust.
And he's a...
Yeah. And I would say he didn't play himself in this either. I felt like his character...
He was much more suave, because he's as a person, Bugsy Malone is he's a streetwise, from humble beginnings, working class young man who's become a rapper, which is his main vocation. And Guy Ritchie, I guess, recognized he had probably talent for acting and brought him in The Gentleman. And these are the only two movies he's done.
Yeah.
The Gentleman and now this. But that being said, I want to see him in a lead role in a Guy Ritchie movie now.
I do too.
I think he's
ready.
Perfectly capable of it. He was, in my opinion, the best actor in this movie, as far as this movie goes. That's not to say that Hugh Grant can't be a better actor in something else, but Bugsy Malone was the highlight of this movie for me, actor wise. But anyway, all those things being equal, I also give it a 6.5. You say don't rent it. I say maybe rent it. But as a Guy Ritchie fan, all bets are off. If you're a Guy Ritchie fan, go see it in the theaters. Rent it.
Damn.
Spend money.
I'm a Guy Ritchie fan. I won't watch that shit in theaters again. I watched it for free.
Yeah, that's why our 6.5s aren't exactly equal because they both have different meanings. But if you're a Guy Ritchie fan, I mean, like, you got to see it by whatever means necessary.
This is interesting.
It's Guy Ritchie.
Shout out to my boy, Nate. He's been listening to the podcast pretty religiously and giving me really good feedback.
Thank you, Nate.
And one of the things he noted was that, you know, it is kind of difficult to say whether or not something should be watched in theaters, right? Like if you watch The Notebook, for example, in theaters, you're not getting really much more than if you just watch. It's not really designed for a theatrical, you know what I mean?
I wasn't aware that there wasn't value in having 3 foot tall dreamy blue eyes of Ryan Gosling. Ooh! Or... You 2 centimeter tall, dreamy blue eyes. I don't even know if he has blue eyes, honestly.
He does. He has very crystal blue, gorgeous eyes. Not that I have watched him. I have.
Yeah. Every time you're lonely, you just watch Somewhere Beyond the Pines.
Some dry. Yeah. Place Between the Pines. No. Oh, Jesus. Sorry. That is dark. I messed that up. But yeah, no, he's, I would watch La La Land in theaters. I would say definitely. And I would say that's kind of a that's great romantic, music. You know? So it's like, but I think it's designed for a theater watch. But no, that's what he mentioned, though, is that you could have a movie that's an 8 or a 9 that you probably don't want to watch in theaters. You could have a movie that's a 4 or a 5 that's going to translate better in theaters. So I think it's important that we distinguish those two. I think that's a good move.
For the best Ryan Gosling experience, pause any scene in the movie Drive and have a staring contest with him.
Ooh, okay.
And if you don't bring eye drops,
have you seen that?
You're going to lose.
I know we're kind of going off topic here, but have you seen that? I think it's an Instagram profile where it's like Ryan Gosling won't eat a cereal, and he keeps like trying to put Ryan Gosling the spoon in the cereal, and he'll like look away or like slap it down. I love it, dude. If you guys want a funny little watch, go to Instagram and put Ryan Gosling won't eat a cereal. You'll love it's great. It's so funny. I think he does it in real life too. He like reacts to it and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, but, I like those too. I've seen them. Yep. All right. Well.
All right. So I think we're getting to that time. Oh no, dude. Do you know what time it is?
What time is it, man?
It's time for the spoilers.
Oh my God. Get out. You're going to know what happens.
Get out of here. We're spoiling
spoilers,
it.
Spoilers, baby.
Did you want to watch it? Too bad. We're going to spoil it if you stay.
Spoiled.
Spoiler. It is spoiler time.
All right. So before I mentioned that there was one thing cinematography-wise where Guy Ritchie tried to be creative or at least add some style that I didn't care for. And it was when Aubrey Plaza was speaking on a microphone. They would do the
zooming in on her fucking lips.
On her lips while she talked.
Like, God, that was so cringe to me, dude. Me personally, I didn't like it.
It was like trying to like sultry DJ type vibe. Yeah. And it's like, what? To what end?
It didn't
it's not that kind of movie. And her character wasn't played to be some kind of sex symbol. So why are you suddenly doing that?
Yeah, dude, that's another thing I noticed. This is going to sound really weird. I feel bad that I noticed this. But like the second half of the movie, Greg, played by your boy, Hugh Grant.
Yep.
His associate, the Asian chick, what was her name?
Amelia.
Amelia, played by, who is that?
Lourdes
Fabrez. I mean, she was your typical strong, silent female, but for some reason, dude, I don't know. I don't know why I noticed it immediately, but there was a part when she started trying to figure out, like, hey, who's hacking us? Where they literally, like, unbuttoned her blouse to, like, her belly. Like, she was wearing the same blouse, and it was just, like, completely unbuttoned and, like, pulled out. I'm like, why the fuck did they do that?
That's just sloppy too. It like just, either it pick seemed, one or the
it
other.
It just seemed really weird that it's like, all right, let's kind of like, well, they almost like hypersexualize her. It's just weird. I don't know why. I just know. I mean, I was sitting in the front and I was like, yo, why is her top all of a sudden like mega unbuttoned?
It sounds like they probably filmed it like both ways and then they forgot to pick one way consistently
in post, like,
but also yeah,
but it was almost immediately after that part where, like you said, Aubrey Plaza was like, the camera was like very aggressively zoomed in on like her lips while she was talking, and it was in a section that was not even like, it just did not, I agree, it didn't translate well at all. I was like, why the fuck did they do that? Like, this is providing no value whatsoever.
Yeah, there were zero scenes in that movie that were meant to be
sexual in any way. Yeah. I mean, some innuendos, sure, because there's definitely like one of the main goals of their entire posse is to try to get Greg, the billionaire to get him off guard, to get him to reveal who it is and you know, take it, like, get access to his phone. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, I'll just be the, you know, his favorite actor's girlfriend. It's the unattainable thing. And in that piece, I fucking love that.
Yeah, he goes for it a little bit.
When they're on the yacht and he's talking to her directly and the way she's, like, expressing a level of discomfort, but also, like, a little bit of interest in it, her facial expressions in that, she fucking killed it, dude. Yeah,
that's the one scene that you named that I actually knew you were going to bring that up.
It was good.
And I noticed it, and it was good. It was so good. She did good in that scene. And like I said, she was given so many bad lines. Like, for instance, and it's in the trailer, so this I didn't even need to do this one on the spoiler side, but where he's like, we need to get these guys inside, and she's like
you want
to, you mean,
let me know when you get inside of him.
No, she's like, are you gonna buy him dinner first before you get inside? It's him. Like, give me a
it was
break.
Funny
no
it was,
it was not even remotely funny.
So what I think they did, what for me personally, the reason I liked that entire interaction is because he was still at a point where he was almost writing her off, because John, so little backstory, John was normally the computer guy, but there's a competitor. There's a competing group of mercenaries that they're always having to deal with. And it ended up, she got kicked off of John, or she got kicked off of, his name was Mike, right?
Mike, yeah.
She got kicked off of Mike's mercenary group. So they ended up picking her up, and John, their favorite guy, ended up being on the other side. And so there was that issue where Awesome, Jason Statham's character,
Orson.
I like saying awesome Orson because it reminded me.
Let's say it all together. Awesome Orson Fortune.
Yeah,
that's missed opportunity by Guy Ritchie there.
Right.
Go to bearrugs.com. Leave the feedback.
Hey, got him. But there is a little bit of a conflict between them, and so they end up kind of developing a relationship. But the fact that she's willing to hold her own and take jabs at him, I thought it very translated well to her character's personality, which I liked.
I just wish they would have been good jabs.
I also thought it was kind of funny. Like, I was like, haha. I remember it in the trailer, and I was still like, haha. I liked it.
She didn't have a single good joke.
And
that's not her fault.
The same thing that happened with Cocaine Bear and young Han Solo, where he was like being all melodramatic.
Yeah, what was your scene in Operation Fortune that matched?
The fucking actor, dude. Like, the first half of the movie, when they're like, all right, you're going to have to be, you know, these guys are killers. He was just being so fucking melodramatic about it. And again, unbearable weight of massive talent, Nicolas Cage having to be the infiltrated CIA guy. Translated much better. It was just much more entertaining and I don't want to say believable, but it felt more, because he wasn't as two dimensional. It felt more.
I would like to caution anyone from comparing Nicolas Cage to Josh Hartnett. That's of course, fair. Nicolas Cage That's did fair. It better. And that to movie's Josh, gonna be a classic.
To Josh Hartnett's credit, him playing Greg at the end fucking crushed it. I loved it. And that whole scene with the missiles.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. And that was the best scene for Hugh Grant. He finally, after being one dimensional and only saying what he had to at the end, he had a moment to be like, kind of show off some of that.
The badass, dude.
Yeah,
the weapon, the arms dealer, middleman badass.
I'm so glad that scene happened where he finally was just like, and he also became like a little good, like a little anti-hero at the end there too. And the true bad guy became Mike.
Yeah, and also that was another issue I had is that the whole time Mike and his crew are like putting a burr in their saddle with everything that they come to, and the resolution of this conflict that was built up between Orson and Mike, it was so anticlimactic. He beat the shit out of him with like a briefcase. Like, come on. Like, Mike's supposed to be fucking this burr in everybody's saddle, and it's like he has a shootout with a couple of fucking unpaid guards. His like elite level mercenaries have this shootout with like two unpaid guards. The two unpaid, or you know, I don't want to say unpaid, but two fucking
base, just kind of lackeys.
Yeah, base level just, lackeys are able to take down these fucking elite mercenaries and leave Mike in such a vulnerable situation that Jason Statham's character plot armor was way too thick too. I think.
Yeah. But there's a lot of forced stuff. It just seemed kind of thrown together and sloppy, but it still had some of the Guy Ritchie moments that you like to see. As far as Bugsy Malone, I said that he was the highlight of the movie for me. Two scenes in particular stood out. Three, if you count what I consider to be the more badass scene. He several times in the movie proves to be like a really adept sniper, and it's cool
he's Overwatch.
And it shows his badass side. He he does a good job every time he's a sniper, and it's fun scenes. But there's two in particular that I really liked. One is Orson Fortune, for whatever reason, is obviously a vintage wine fan. Chagrin of his boss, Nathan, Cary Elwes, he spends like their actual spy budget on like old wines that cost a fortune. And the only time that his boss, Nathan, thinks that this is okay is when he shares it. Well, his boss gets on his bad side at some point. So he's on the private jet, walks in with two glasses. And his boss, Nathan, goes, "Is that the 2004? Like, mouth almost watering. And he goes, "Yeah, it is." And hands one of them over to Bugsy Malone's character, JJ.
Yep.
And he's like, "I don't really drink wine, boss." And he's like, "Ah, just try it. This is
he says there's wine and then there's 2004. Wine. Yeah. Or something like that.
No, he literally says there's wine and then there's wine. And he tries it and he's just like,
Ooh. Yeah. And like he waits. It's funny too. He like takes a drink, he sets it down, and he keeps working on the computer. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Ooh."
Yeah. Again.
And then he takes another drink and he's like, "Ooh." And you see Jason Statham smile. And then what does Nathan say? He says something like, "Congratulations, you've Frankenstein," or not Frankenstein. Yeah. Well, Frankenstein's the doctor.
Yeah, congratulations, you've created another monster, Dr. Frankenstein, or something like that. Because now there's another person on the crew that's into wine that costs as much as their whole operational budget. And the other scene is a really fun scene where Jason Statham is tracking a character named Ben Harris. And Ben Harris knows he's being tracked, so he's on top of this tower, and he sticks his cell phone that's being tracked in just some random elevator attendant's jacket and shoves him off the building. Well,
Jason, and this is like a three-story building, so he's...
It's even more than that, I'd say.
Probably about five.
And Jason Statham gets to the top, and JJ gets to the bottom. He's saying, "Hey, he's right there. He's there. You're on top of him." And he's like, "No, he's not here." And then they find the body at the bottom. And Jason Statham's like, "That must be him down there." And JJ goes, "That's not Ben Harris." And right at that moment, Ben Harris is at the top, makes a run for Jason Statham. He's been hiding. Jason Statham's a super spy, and this is just like an accountant. And so he flings him over, and he lands right at the feet of JJ. And JJ goes, "That's Ben Harris." And so they just gave him the best quips.
Yeah.
And he also delivered them perfectly. Yeah. He killed it as a spy. He was the most spy-like, suave-like in the movie. So if you had Jason Statham, Bugsy Malone, and Aubrey Plaza, and Cary Elwes, all four competing for the next role as James Bond, it's like Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, Bugsy would get it for sure.
Yeah.
I agree. He crushed it. They also did, I guess, a little bit of a cinematography type thing when they're infiltrating the satellite, and it keeps switching to like almost this like first person view through the scope of him like doing suppressed shots while JJ's like Overwatch dinking him out. And it's really show, that's when you really get to see again like the showcasing of it. But I felt like the plot twists were just a little bit played out. Like you knew what was coming, man.
Predictable.
You're like, yeah, okay, Mike is definitely, you know, he's not working for any government. What's he doing? And it's like,
he's rogue.
Yeah. Oh, hey, big surprise. The fucking mercenary wants the $10 billion, you know, fucking, what do they call them when it's just not mulligan, but they have a word for it. It starts with an M.
When what happens?
When it's like, here's this random thing that everyone has to get. MacGyver. MacGyver's the guy that fixes shit. I'm going to fucking remember. There's a dumb name for like the standard. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, big surprise that the rogue agent wants to take the fucking expensive thing that everyone wants, right?
Yeah. The hand.
Yeah.
The handle.
The handle is what they called it. Yeah. But there's usually a name for it in movies.
And then what the handle actually was really dumb too. Like,
well,
it's something that doesn't immediately hurt anyone. But I guess like if you really start thinking about it, which you shouldn't have to really start thinking about it, it becomes dangerous. So it's like something that like takes every bank on Earth offline and like drains all their money.
It's an AI algorithm that can hack any computer basically. And you can tell it what you want it to hack, and it can, no, there's nothing unhackable with it.
Right.
And mulligan. Is that what they call it?
A mulligan is a do-over, is what the word mulligan is.
There's a term for it.
I'm trying to describe to me again what scenario you're trying to...
So essentially, in Avatar, for example, the ore that everyone wants to obtain is called unobtainium. So it's like a random plot item. Doesn't matter what that plot item is. It's sole purpose is to create a conflict between the factions, right?
I don't know why, but the word MacGuffin is
MacGuff. It's like a MacGuff. I think that's what it's actually called, or MacGuffin, MCGUFFIN. I think that's what it is. I think you got it, dude. Yeah, I think you got it dead on.
The MacGuffin.
An object or device in a movie or book that serves merely as a trigger for the plot.
Okay.
It's a MacGuffin, right? Oh, the handle is the MacGuffin in this case. So it's like
exactly.
Big surprise that he wants the MacGuffin. That's exactly what it looks. See, you got it.
Man, I was thinking that pray earlier.
For me, dude. You should have just said it.
Every night.
Anyway. You pray for me every night? I appreciate
Somebody's
that.
Somebody's got
to. Someone's got to. Lord, you help that bear rug over there. Whatever he's got going on.
The lesser of the two bear rugs. I'm not allowed to say that.
Damn.
I apologize for that.
That's mean. No,
we're equal.
Are we?
All things being equal.
I would destroy you in a fight. We talked about this.
That doesn't make us unequal bear rugs.
Well, I mean, if we're going the machismo route. Mm-mm. No?
Nope.
The stronger, big man better? Mm-mm. No? Okay. Nope. Long story short.
I wouldn't even say stronger. So we worked out together one time, and it depends on like what we're doing. Like we do something like related to abs, and you do like two reps, it'd be game over.
I guarantee you I could pick that table up and hit you with it right now, and you couldn't do the same.
Yeah, that means your arm is stronger.
Oh.
There's a whole lot of other muscle groups.
What are my legs? You want me to fucking put your legs up. Let's push against each other. See who wins. No, let's not do that. Look, long story short, we're both bear rugs. This movie was a 6.5. I don't recommend you watch it. Don't watch it in theaters. You got anything else you want to talk about on it?
If you're a Guy Ritchie fan, some good Guy Ritchie things happen. Not his best. Also a 6.5.
You even think fun a movie, Guy Ritchie special. Fans should go see it?
Die Hard.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm Die that's Hard. Fair. He's in my top five directors.
No, actually, I do want to know. When you guys see it, tell us. Aubrey Plaza, I'm 100%. She fucking crushed it.
I would have given it an 8.
Aubrey Plaza and JJ, those were my guys. Those were the two.
One of two things would have happened. I would have given it an 8. Either Aubrey Plaza is given a much better lines.
Okay.
Or someone else was in the role and delivered her lines better, which I think is possible, but I could be wrong. Really?
Who do you think would be the ideal?
I don't
know. The Cockney chick?
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter. Who's that? Is it with a K?
Jessica Jones. Did you ever watch that?
Is that the one with the big eyes?
That's Anna Taylor-Joy.
No. Yeah, it's the girl with the big eyes from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I think she would have done good.
She would have been the hacker. I'm not seeing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think she's not. I don't think she's a bad actress by any means. I'm just not seeing her as that hacker.
So Aubrey Plaza is like a female Michael Shannon. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Michael Shannon. No, I don't need Michael Shannon fans sending me
the opposite of fan mail. Why am I not remembering who these people are?
But Michael Shannon is the same person in every single movie. Like in Bullet Train, it's like, oh, there's Michael Shannon being, he's Russian, but he's still Michael Shannon.
Crazy guy. Yeah. Okay. I mean, in Godzilla, he wasn't the same guy, the machine gunner. Was he?
Michael Shannon wasn't in Godzilla.
Not Godzilla. King Kong. Kong. Jack Black. The one with Jack Black in it. He was in that one, wasn't he? Wasn't he like a heavy machine gun for the army guys?
I don't think so, but maybe. But he's the same thing. He's the same thing. Everything he does, right. He's Michael Shannon.
Whatever.
I love him. I like every movie he's in.
I like JJ and Aubrey Plaza JJ and Sarah.
Bugsy Malone killed it.
Bugsy Malone crushed it.
6.5. I don't have anything else to add.
Yep. Okay. That's all I got, so I guess we'll shut it down here. That about wraps up everything we have for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and remember,
don't be a bear rug. Don't do it, you'll regret it. Been there, done that. But in all seriousness, we appreciate the listens, everybody, and we hope you tune in next time. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, be sure to visit our site at thebearrugs.com for additional episodes. We have all of our socials listed there. You know what they are. Give us a like, share, comment. If you're part of the older crowd, Pony Express that shit if you have to. Thanks for listening, everyone.